Welcome to Thoughtful Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just to remind you how to join us for the podcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. And you'll find us there. Obviously, the best way if you want to really enjoy yourself and participate online, live, I would recommend going over to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall because we co-broadcast, actually stream the video over there so that you can watch and see my lovely face. And every once in a while, you'll see the locals in my kitten. To stop by and say hello. And with that, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me on Twitter, you also go to sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account called Paul Franz, PAULFRANZ. There's no T in that. And if you want to follow me, that's fine. That's a reminder. I'm an ardent Catholic, a rabid O's fan, and I love all kinds of technology. And, of course, if you want to follow what's going on when it comes to Franz Games, and you'll SFB Online, FedCom Online, Starfleet Warlord, just follow Franz Games. Again, no T in Franz. Moving on to some quick news from ADB this week. Jean's back from having COVID, and actually she's going... starting things rolling again. They did post something on the Facebook page, which reminds that there's a picture of the Federation's officers' rank insignias available on the website at starfleetgames.com. The easiest way to find it is go to the Facebook page, ADB's Facebook page. That's the easiest way to go to find it, or you can actually go to starfleetgames.com and click on the master index, and you will be able to find the insignias there. I'd look for rank insignias, and then from there you should be able to see a sub one, which is the Federation officers rank insignias. So you should be good to go there. Moving on to SFB Online, when it comes to the tournaments, there hasn't been any tournaments as of late. We will probably be getting that started again in probably another month or so. When it comes to the SFB Online client itself, actually, I did a little work on it. I'm planning on updating the way demo accounts are created and done and viewed, so that hopefully people will be able to, I'll be able to better know how many people are actually testing out the product. I'm be able to contact them and so forth. So a lot better, hopefully, turnaround rate and improving the number of people actually using SFB Online. Also, one thing I worked on was actually a dock mode look and feel. It took me almost a day to get it all up and running, working the way I want it to work. I'm still tweaking some things because of the dark mode is not showing up on all pieces, at least as much as possible. The one thing that will not be in dark mode is going to be the SSDs. Those are just because they're that. They're background images themselves. They're graphics, so they don't have there's no way to do it dark mode. The only thing I can possibly do for those is actually do a reverse color. So what's white is black, what's black is white, and then things like that. I could possibly do it. I'm not sure. I want to avoid that. The major push for this actually is a new person who wanted to sign up for the service and really needs it for their eyesight. So I'm going to be hopefully releasing that ASAP. The big one there is going to be the update to the way new people register and sign up and have demos and all that kind of thing. And that might actually take me an additional week or so, because part of that is probably going to be recording some beginner videos so people can learn how to use the client watching YouTube videos. And when it comes to library, no, not much happening there. It's all been quiet lately, so it is what it is. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one old Paul Fumos, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, we have Gary. How you doing, Gary?
Not too bad. I'm glad we're able to get the show on the road.
Cool. And we have Doug. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. Sorry for the late start, just because computer issues. Just wasn't recording, which is a bad thing, so I had to restart the computer, and then it said, oh, yeah, while you're restarting, hey, why don't we put on these updates? It's like, oh, really? Of course, most probably that's part of my issue was I had updates outstanding for too long, and inevitably, when I do that, the computer starts acting strangely. Things stop working the way they're supposed to. I'm sure it's because they're waiting for this new piece of code to be put in place, or something partially in place, or something whacked like that. So, whatevs. I'm up and going now, which is a good thing. So that, well, I guess there'll probably be no one on the Twitch chat tonight, just because of we're starting so late. We're starting like 20 minutes late. But anyhow, for this evening, I think even though it's a late start, I think we still could have a nice discussion since the rules are relatively short, which is talking about the FedCom fighters attack. As I mentioned last week, what I plan on doing is actually doing a quick go over for the preliminary rules that are available for FedCom gunboats, which we did last week. Gunboats attack, basically, last week. Fighters attack, which we're going to do this week. And X-ships attack, which is, I'm not sure. Actually, I don't think it's called X-ships attack. Is that, Gary, am I correct on that one?
I think they were thinking of that, yeah. Because I don't know whether or not that would mean that once SFB Module X2 comes out, that maybe we'll end up getting X2 ships attack or something.
Hey, it works. But anyhow, yeah. So we'll be discussing X-ships next week. So this week we're talking about fighters attack and some of the fighters rules. There's, as mentioned in the actual communique, where the rules, the preliminary rules were put in, which was, I think, communique number 128, which was put out, I think, in 2016. I forget that. Let me look. Yes. I did something which, and big surprise, I like to read the rules on physical paper. So I actually sat down and I printed out a copy of those three pages of rules. And actually, the number of rules really isn't three pages long. It's more like two pages long and one page of each kind of fighter, and some things about, okay, when is it crippled? When is it I got distracted because Russ was asking Dave about ADB and Andros, how they defeat monsters, so forth. And of course, rule C60. But anyway, getting back to what we're actually the topic for this evening, and that is fighters attack. When it comes to fighters attack, there's actually two things that came in, and be honest, I was in a hurry, and I didn't check the actual rule book, the current rule book for Federation Commander. And whether this one rule is added, which is rule number 4F6. And that rule is called swarms. From the looks of it, swarms are basically designed to help with a situation of fighters. And that is the number of seeking weapons that get placed on the board. And the idea of a swarm is that you take all those, have the same, okay, they state here, any seeking weapons of the same type, different, launched by the same ship on the same impulse on the same target. So if you got a bunch of drones, you know, for the most part, because we're not talking about 32 speed drone, we're just talking about regular drones. Because drones in FedCom, there's only one kind of drone, unlike SFB, where there are 1600 kinds of drones. Which, let's not go down that rabbit hole again. But so the whole idea here is, as I said, you take all of drones, in this case, let's say all drones because they're all going to be the same type. So you can do the same thing for plasma weapons, like if they're all plasma Fs, they're, you know, and they're all targeted the same unit. I'm going to say same unit. Same impulse and launched by the same ship. Now, I'll get back to that particular item in just a little bit. But what the idea is that you then take all of those individual weapons and then you put a single counter on the board. But you still have to track the damage to those seeking weapons individually. Here's what it says. Damage. This is 4F6A. When fired upon, the swarm is targeted as a whole, and the owner of the swarm allocates damage by weapon, starting with the largest number of damage points. And they give a good example here. A drone swarm is fired upon by three phasers, doing 4 points of damage, 3 points of damage, and 1 point of damage. So those are three different weapons doing three different values of damage. The drone swarm owner applies the 4 points of damage against an undamaged drone, applies three to another undamaged drone, and applies 1 point to another undamaged drone. So basically, you can't, because it's a swarm, you can't target individual drones within that swarm individually. Impact. Here's the thing. Impact. At the point of impact, the swarm ends, and the surviving seeking weapons are treated individually during the defensive fire step. I'm assuming also during the actual damage step too, because of the thing is that, you know, especially when it comes to plasmas can have different ranges of damage. So you can't, unfortunately, you can't take what was like four drones, which if you consider them as a one unit, that'd be 48 points of damage, and it would take 16 points of damage to kill the whole thing. So, you know, that because if you do that, all of a sudden you just went from individual smaller weapons to a super weapon. You know, and I'm sure that's why they don't allow that. Which makes total sense. I wouldn't want it done otherwise, to be honest. You know, that you have to allocate the damage. You know, the seeking webs are treated individually, and also points out in tractors, the tractor rule, which is 4F6C, each tractor used against a swarm in flight removes one drone from the swarm, which is thereafter a separate swarm. Chris, I will get to that. I have not gotten to the two fighters yet. Okay, now, so they added, to me, it looks like they added the whole idea of swarms to FedCom, you know, for into this module, which is, you know, fighters attack, because of one just crazy thing about fighters is the number of seeking weapons they can possibly launch. Now, from the looks of it, it's not too bad, but I will get to that later and discuss about the different kind of fighters that are currently in the rules. Because, and as it was pointed out in here, in the rules, which was, there it is, quote, as part of the preparations for Federation Commander Fighters Attack, Mike West rewrote the Hydran fighter rules to be more general and cover all fighters, unquote. So the whole idea was that to take what the rules were previously for just Hydran fighters are now for generic, you know, for more just than Hydran fighters. You've got the Federation, you've got the Zinni, you've got the Lyrians, you've got the Klingons, you got the Gorns, you got the Romulans. You know, they all have their own fighters. Now, to let you know that they've been genericized, so you don't have all this different kinds of fighters that are available to you in Fighters Attack. Now, I'm gonna skip a lot of this stuff. Okay, that's the general overrun of the fighters, which is the fighters can have a speed of 16, turn mode of 1, and they typically take somewhere between 10 and 14 points of damage depending upon the fighter. Now, the fighters can also do one high-energy turn per game. Per high-energy turn. So each turn, you can do it for free. It costs no speed or energy, and there's zero chance of failure. Now, okay, fighters do not have to declare their intention to perform a hit. They simply just hit. Though I'm sure that most people will announce that their fighter is heading so that they know that the person is not cheating. Because remember, even fighters also are limited to only one hit per game turn. So there's still a limitation and something that kind of has to be tracked. So you have to mark that, okay, yeah, this fighter itself has actually used his hit for the turn. The fighters launch from a ship and land as shuttles, but all fighters of a given flight launch and land during a single impulse as a single unit. Let's look at this real quick. Okay, yeah, the flights are coming up in just a little bit. Fighters cannot be used as suicide shuttles, so sorry, you can't have all of a sudden a faster suicide shuttles than you currently have. Sorry, got distracted by my kitty knocking down something. Big surprise, it's a cat. Now, the damage, you know, fighters are destroyed after taking a certain number of damage points, you know, that's true. Crippling. Okay. Okay. Oh, here's a good one. Just to keep in mind, which is fighters are destroyed if towed at a speed over 16, which means, it's that's a good old SFB rule, the whole death drag rule. Now, normally for SFB, death drag rule requires you to actually kind of cripple the ship beforehand almost. Wow, Dave. I don't think anyone knows X2 or module R13 due dates. Sorry, got distracted there, folks. Now, so basically you can do a death drag. All you have to do is go speed, is tractor a fighter and then go faster than speed 16, which is a great way of killing the fighters. Now, of course, if the fighters are that close to you, you're in trouble anyway. Because even the drone fighters have direct fire weapons, and you get enough of those direct fire weapons close to you, big surprise, you're in for a big bag of hurt. Crippling, big surprise again. This is directly from SFB, which is that 2/3 of the damage, of their damage limit. You know, so if they, in the case of if they take 10 points of damage to completely destroy a fighter, that means 7. 7 points of damage, and then it's crippled. Now, if it's crippled, again, it's some of the same SFB rules, which is the fighter cannot fire its heavy weapons. Any charges in them are lost, which is important later on. You can't launch drones or plasma. They are dropped and lost. So if you had drones and are plasma, basically you're discharging them, you're dropping them. So if you actually land back onto your carrier, you have to actually, that's one thing I did not see. In fact, I know I did not see, and we'll discuss that in just a bit, because they have launching. But you know, I talked about launching, and the question is repairing. But anyway, again. You're down to a single phase of three shot once per turn. You're offensive or defensive, and a crippled fighter can be partially or completely repaired if, after some repairs, it has enough damage points. It is no longer treated as crippled. So it can be repaired. Now, here's the gotcha in my mind is, okay, that it says it can be repaired. I don't see the rules for repair on the fighters. Now, that I did not, I'm not that familiar with shuttles, so it's possible that the repair rules are in the rules for repairing a shuttle. So, if a fighter has multiple phasers, at least one phaser shot remains. It still gets one shot per turn. Okay, and at least one shot remains. Okay. So basically, if you used up both, if you had like two phaser threes, and you used up both shots, you can't shoot a third time. You know, now that you're crippled. If it hadn't fired your either phasers or either the two phaser threes, or you fired only one, then it says, well, okay, in that case, you basically, you got enough energy to fire, you still have that energy, and you can fire one phaser three. And the cost for the fighters are 10 points each, unless otherwise noted, and I would love to know if they're noted, especially when it comes to things like drones. Claim, okay. Talking about the next one. Okay, now, just like swarms, they're doing their best to sorry. Apologize. Just like swarms, there also are what are called fight or flights. Now, fight or flights are basically they're 1 to 6 individual fighters. Maximum size of a flight, 6 fighters. Now, a carrier can carry either 1, 2, or 3 flights of fighters, depends upon how many spots it has available to it. But, you know, if now flights are treated as a single unit for launch and recovery. So basically, if you have, let's say, if your carrier has a single flight of fighters, let's make it simple, and that fighter flighters has only 4 fighters, that means all 4 fighters are going to be launched at the same time, or can be, and they're treated as a single unit. If a carrier has multiple flights, the fighters can be divided between however you want. For example, you know, the carrier had eight fighters, which means there's actually 2 flights because it's greater than 6. You can either have them to 2 flights as 4 and 4, or 6 and 2, or 5 and 3. And one thing they mentioned is that the flights can be reorganized, but they only can be reorganized while they are actually landed on the carrier. They can't reorganize in mid-flight. Flights must move together as a single unit and fire upon as a are fired upon as a single unit. So just like swarms, they're considered a single unit, and you fire at that. Now, the owner of the fighters determine how damage is applied by weapon in order of from the most damage scored on down. In the case of seeking weapons, one seeking weapon can only damage one fighter, even if there's a massive overkill. Of course, seeking weapons damage and direct fire weapons damage happens at different points in the sequence of play. They give a good example here. I'm not going to read through it just because I think it's kind of pointless. Also, any crippled fighters may no longer fire as weapons. Now, here is one of those really weird things. And that is that, according to this, you have your crippled, you know, you can cripple fighters, you know, because you are going to be individually crippling the fighters. Now, it states here, any crippled fighter can no longer fire his weapons other than phase 3. Any drones are removed. Wait a minute, any drones in flight are removed. Okay, I almost thought it read in the flight, which would be really weird. But the crippled fighter stays with the flight and does not slow down. So even if you are crippled, you don't slow down. And here's the one thing, though. And that is that, okay, that if all fighters are crippled, the entire flight moves at a reduced speed, half of the original drop fractions. Fighters in a flight fire direct fire weapons individually and are affected by 4A3. They fire seeking weapons individually, but any launches in a single impulse must have the same target and must form into a swarm. And they give another example. Now, let me just look at this for a moment. I'm sure they've corrected this by now. Da-da-da. Yep. Okay. So, yeah, there's an assumption here. Okay, I'll mention that real quick, which is, so far what I've read through, you know, I'll mention about the weapons shortly enough. But if you notice, the one thing that is missing from these rules, the one thing that is missing is, until you talk about the flights, there was no mention of the fighter slowing down due to being crippled. Which to me is, okay, if you play SFB, then you know that if your shuttle or fighter or whatever gets crippled, it automatically changes speed down to being half of its max speed. So given that, you know, that the rules actually missing for anyone who does not know SFB, well, it's not until they actually read about flights that they know, oh, I need to have half speed versus that. And which, I have a question about the flights itself. Because you look at the flights again, basically it says here that, you know, flights are treated as a single unit for launch and recovery. Now, does that mean that if you have a flight, let's say you have a full flight available on the carrier. Now, given that carrier has, you have that full flight of fighters, does that mean what I think it possibly means, or am I misinterpreting this, which is that if I have two crippled of your flight of six fighters, if you have two crippled fighters, so they're keeping up to you, they're not slowed down, they just can't fire weapons, so they came back. Okay, so they come back to the carrier. The carrier, they said that they don't rearm, and they want to send them out again. Does that mean they have to send out the crippled fighters also? You know, the way I read it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I kind of doubt that. It sounds to me like the swarm rules for the drones and the fighters are really just primarily a way of keeping the bookkeeping down and not having a bunch of counters on that thing.
Right.
So if you bring those in and you launch your uncrippled fighters, they're not part of that swarm anymore. You're not, because you keep track of them all separately anyways, from what I saw in that.
Right.
That was just my thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Doug, I completely agree with you. But that was the one thing that came to my mind because of
cuts back on record keeping.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is a group to bring them in. They don't have to launch them all to send them back out.
Right, right. Yeah, because I guess...
when you get the impact with the seeking weapons, then everything's treated as the original thing that was launched, so...
Mm-hmm.
when you bring your fighters back on board, then it sounds like you're probably treating them all as individuals at that point. And if you want to repair some of them, you can repair them. Do whatever you want. But yeah, you're probably not going to launch the crippled fighters back out unless you're that desperate.
Right, right. Oh, agreed. But that was the one thing that it's not explicitly mentioned here, other than saying, and as I said, that they're treated as a single unit for launch and recovery. Which I think that's only that's kind of an implicit description saying that, yeah, you actually have to launch all the fighters at one time, your full flight. Now, if you have two flights, here's the thing is, if you have two flights of fighters, what that would mean that if that is truly the case, you can reorganize it into, okay, a flight of basically really damaged fighters, because you can reorganize your fighters once they're on the carrier. And then you can have like four really good fighters, or possibly even, as I pointed out here, you can have a flight of six and two. And let's say you have two that are really damaged fighters, that they're crippled. But you happen to have eight fighters, so you still have two flights. And you're allowed to organize them in however you want to do it. Four and four, six and two, five and three. You can do however you want to organize your fighters into two different flights, however that is. So, there would be a way of leaving the if you have the if a carrier has the ability to have two flights of fighters, that means you can actually have a special ability given that to actually when you have some crippled fighters come in and they land, when you launch again, you basically can reorganize your fighters and go, oh yeah, well see those two, they're their own little flight. They're gonna stick together and they're gonna get repaired together. And you have these other six who are good, and that's a new flight. That's a separate flight now. That's how they're gonna be reorganized to be. So that's the one of those benefits. And my question would be is, when it comes to three flights, what do you do? I'm assuming you can do the same thing. You could have 4-4-5, or 4-4-5. Yeah, 4-4-5. And so forth. You can break them into three flights however you want. Moving on to weapons, fighters armed, with phases, they have FA firing arcs, big surprise, and hydrants use Gatling phases, while most other fighters use two phaser threes. They can be used either defensive fire as well as direct fire phase. All phases on fighters have a limited maximum range of 15 hexes, which if you actually look at the weapons chart, that is kind of pointless. Unless you actually start allowing phaser ones, because phaser threes only have a range of 15. So my guess is they might add that in case they allow fighter variants to come into play. Heavy weapons, fighters are usually armed with heavier weapons. These can be drones, type D plasma torpedoes, fusion beams, and occasionally other weapons. All heavy weapons are a big surprise. Also, FA firing arc. And the secret weapons cannot be launched at any target more than 15 hexes away. And there are other special rules for heavy weapons listed as a specific type of fighters. When it comes to launching, Fighters can may not fire the weapons on the first impulse that they're launched.
What?
Arming, you know, fighters start scenarios fully armed. Okay. Kitty? Say goodbye to them.
Goodbye.
Yeah, you can. Okay, where was I? Okay, the fighter may be launched immediately after being armed. Each kind of weapon requires its own charge, you know, for each heavy weapon, which can be really nasty. You'll see it later. One thing I was thinking of. Now, okay, a weapon, yeah, any weapon on a fighter may not be recharged or reloaded in the same turn that it's fired. So basically, if you fire on turn one at the enemy, and then on turn one, you get back to the carrier and you then land on the carrier, you can't actually rearm those weapons until the next turn. And also, fighters cannot use direct targeting. For those of you who are familiar with that in FedCom, talks about the hydrogen fighters, which I really don't care about, that much about. Hydrogen fighters. The hydrogen stingers are armed with a Gatling phaser and two fusion beams, and a stringer can only fire one fusion beam at any given turn. Each fusion beam can only fire once per turn. It does not have a cooldown between firings. Each fusion beam can be loaded with two charges, which is unique, I think, to the Hydrans. Charges are reloaded when the Stinger is on the ship and costing 1 point of energy per charge. So it's kind of expensive when it comes to that. Drone armed fighters, you know, Federation, Klingon, Zinnis. The Klingon and the Zinnis take 12 points of damage. The Federation takes only 10 points of damage. Most ships that carry drone armed fighters can only launch one flight or shuttle per impulse, and some ships can launch fighters faster, and they'll be noted in the ship description. Drone fighters also are armed with only two phaser threes and two drones. A drone armed fighter can only launch a single drone on any given turn, and requires obviously no energy because it's a shocker. It's a drone. Plasma armed fighters. You know, that's the Romans, Gorns, ISC. Wynn actually had a squadron or two of plasma fighters, and the Ryans, of course, they stole them, so they get to use them. Romulan and Gorn fighters are 10 points of damage to destroy. ISC takes 12. Now, these plasma armed fighters are armed with only two phaser twos and two plasma D torpedoes. A plasma armed torpedo can only launch a single torpedo on a given turn. Big surprise. And it takes one half of energy point to charge a torpedo. So in other words, to charge both of them, it requires 1 point of energy. The Tholians, their fighters take 14 points of damage to destroy. The Tholian spiders are armed with a phaser 3 and a phaser 2. Since a spider only has two phasers, It can fire both phasers on once each turn and never has to be reload either weapon. Both phasers are limited to a range of 15. So that rule comes back, as I mentioned, which is that the phaser 2 only has a range of 15. You know, it's limited, of course, by sensors and so forth. I'm sure that is the techno speak. Why? Okay, now we have Vudar fighters, which is interesting that they have Vudar fighters. They take 14 points of damage to destroy. And Vudar fighters also are armed with two phaser 3s and two ion pulse cannons. A Vudar fighter can only fire one ion pulse cannon on any given turn, and each pulse cannon can be loaded with two charges, just like the fusions. Fusion beams on the Hydran ship. When charges are reloaded, when the fighter is on the ship, costing the ship one half point of energy per charge. And ion pulse cannons are limited to a range of 3 hexes, but has 2 charges in a single shot can, by one weapon, can extend that range out to 10. And just to let you know, I missed this, which is that fusion beams themselves have the same thing. And that's okay. And that's if it comes to the overall rules for it. Now, as I mentioned, the one thing I probably should have looked up, which was repairs, because I don't see how the repairs, how the interactivity works. Because I know usually, of course, you have shuttles working as suicide shuttles, and you have shuttles that work for basically landing Marines. Those are the two options in FedCom. Now, the only time that repair would even be considered is because in FedCom, one thing that shuttles do not have phaser 3s. So you can't have act as a poor man's carrier, where basically if you have 4 shuttles, you know, you get slow speeds, and then you launch all 4 of your shuttles and have them go around your ship, you know, have it so that basically you have some additional phaser 3s out there to fire upon your opponent. But in FedCom, shuttles don't have any phaser 3s. It's only the fighters themselves that actually have weapons. And I'm sure there's some people out there screaming, like, oh, why don't they have phaser? Shuttles have phaser 3s, but, you know, that was a decision that was made. So many years ago. So, overall, it doesn't seem that bad when it comes to fighters. You know, obviously the benefit here, I see that I was really concerned about when I first heard about fighters attack, which is that when it comes to drones, the drones are limited to 2 drones per fighter, and the fighter can only launch 1 seeking weapon per turn. And being a flight, they have to all launch at the same time, which still means there's a lot of drones on the board. And even if you say, oh, it's a swarm, and so it looks as a single unit, it's like, no, they're still individual units. You still have to track them individually. So the only thing that it helps at all is the physical movement of counters. That's it. It puts an additional burden when it comes to tracking. And that is what drones are with what swarm. Yeah, Chris, flights generate swarms, or can generate swarms. Just like from the looks of it, swarms aren't just specific to fighters. Swarms can also be used in the case of regular ships, where you have a ship that's going to be launching like four to six drones all at the same time. So you can actually take that and say, okay, this is going to be a swarm, and then just take the six pieces. Instead of having six pieces, you have a single piece, and you go, bop. Now, for the most part, see, here's the one thing. With Federation Commander, PEDCOM, that really makes sense. It doesn't cause any big issues. Now, if they added anti-drone weapons like, T-bombs, now you've got an issue when it comes to swarms. But from the sounds of it, you can also decide not to use, the swarm rule. And that's fine. You just got to decide it before the game starts. Because the reason why I say that, when it comes to the anti-drone weapons, i.e. the T-bombs, because if you have T-bombs that will basically blow up all your drones in one fell swoop, if you basically create a super stack, i.e. a swarm, you'd want to have them, if there's a possibility of a T-bomb, you want at least to have the possibility to spread them out. Because you can do that, it takes a little bit more work. So,
Paul, I don't think there are going to be any T-bombs in Fed Commander.
Right.
But there are certain areas of effect weapons like the Lyran ASG, or if we ever get around to them, the Kolaghar antimatter cloud generators. But those tend to be, like with the ASG, you're basically assigning damage points, like one at a time and circling back around again. So it's not quite so bad. But I think the whole reason why they can get away with the likes of flights and drop swarms is because there aren't any T-bombs, and there aren't going to be. So you've fewer area of effect weapons that you need to worry about getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, that exactly. That's my point. And that for swarms, it's okay. Now, obviously, as I pointed out, that I think that the difficulty about swarms is that now you have an additional point of indirection and different thing. You basically have to have a separate paper. You might have had to do this anyway. At the very least, if you have each one of the drones tracked on the ship, let's say that you have a ship card and you're tracking the damage for the drones on that ship card, because I think you can do that. You still have to know what drone swarm is from what ship. What those drones there that are on the ship. Where are they on the ship card? Sorry, that what part? Which swarm are they part of? If you have, I'm assuming you have multiple swarms. And that can be. Which can be confusing because they can easily cross paths and then you don't remember which one was from which. Or if you have ships that are actually in the same space, because you're still allowed. Yeah, you're still allowed to actually have stacks of ships in FedCom. You're limited by the number of ships you can actually have in that stack, but you can still have a stack of more than one ship. And therefore, you can actually have multiple swarms. Okay.
Well, for what it's worth, there have been a few discussions on the BBS about the whole fighters attack thing. And there's one thing I was thinking about was whether or not they should basically allow empires that would ordinarily have drones to drone and fighters to have like a pseudo relad fighter instead, because like if the Carnivons are given their fighters, they're armed with ADD, the standard.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, technically, you could basically say that, you know, we think that instead of giving a fighter two drones, just give it four. Because Mike West was like, talking about this as well. So basically, you would just, whatever number of, I guess it would be two quote unquote anti drone shots per drone that you would swap in. So you would basically just have the rule would say, okay, so instead of having a fighter with two drones, you've got a fighter with four Raylad shots or anti drone shots, because you wouldn't necessarily need to use the term Raylad in Federation Commander. You basically say it's still in the FA firing arc, but you have that instead. So if you want to move away from using drones on your fighters in the first place, then you could do so that way. That's one theory. And then, but for the Carnivons, though, the question would be, because ordinarily their ADDs are 360 degrees. But right. I don't know whether or not in FedCom, would it be also shuffled into FA arc? Or would they get to retain the 360 degree firing arc that they have in SFB for the ad reps? So I guess the question would be, is it better to maintain the uniformity with the other fighters? Or is it better to, because I mean, like, are you not losing much, I should say, because the ad racks are so short ranged. But would it matter one way or the other if the Carnivon fighters had 360 degree shots or not?
Not sure. Okay. Trying to look up what you're mentioning. Don't see it mentioned. Of course, I'm not a fast reader. So like I said, what I'm doing is a fool's errand. When it comes
to for what it's worth, if the Paravians were given their fighters, that would be pretty easy because they just would have two phaser threes and two quantum wave torpedoes, and you would just give the quantum wave torpedoes the same firing restrictions, launch restrictions that the plasmides have for the like for the ISC and Ramion. So it would be a fairly easy fit to get those working.
Right. Okay. Don't mind me. Okay, actually, I'd probably go back to. Right. Okay, it is mentioned. Okay. I was thinking about the firing arcs for the plasma torpedoes. And it's mentioned on the heavy weapons, which is plasma D torpedoes, are have to fire in the FA arc. Which is very very limited if you think about it, but I'm not sure if that's the same that's in Starfleet battles when it comes to their fighters, because when it comes to plasma D racks, I always plasma Ds, I always imagine them in plasma D racks, which are usually like 180 degree racks, 180 degree firing arcs. Forgive me. So, any other comments from the peanut gallery?
On fighters?
Yeah. Anything before we're
not on fighters? No, I'm not.
Well, the other thing is,
Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that. Okay. I'm not sure if I'm hearing an echo or is Doug trying to talk?
You might be just hearing echo. I'm not hearing echo myself. So.
Okay.
I'm hearing it.
I think it is an echo.
I hear it on him.
On me?
No, you're fine.
Okay. But okay, continue, Gary.
Okay, so of course, the other thing when it comes to fighters attack I'd be looking at is how to unpack the fighter rules for use in the SC projects for Omega and the LMC. In the LMC, I probably wouldn't bother with the casual Aegean fighters, but the Magadim, you probably just give them the mass drivers, but if you use the same limitations as an Alpha, where you just fire one per turn.
Mm-hmm.
The trick would be, though, is that Magadim squadrons are 8 fighters each, so, and usually you're only allowed to have one carrier per battle. So the question would be, should the swarm limits be either increased to 8 or reduced to 4 in order to fit the Magadim carrier doctrine as opposed to the Alpha Octave doctrine?
Oh, you mean the flights versus the swarm?
Yes, because giving a limit of 6 per swarm, per flight, mm-hmm. rather,
for, yeah.
is generally based on the idea that a half squadron in the Alpha Octave is 6 fighters. So, like, for example, the Darwin, the Galactic Survey Cruiser light carrier, it has 6 F-8 fighters. So I guess if there was ever a ship card for it, you would just have it as a single swarm. Single flight, rather.
Mm-hmm.
But again, for the likes of the Magadim, because for them, a half squadron is only 4 fighters. So should their swarms be limited to 4 max to match that?
Right. I think that's a good question.
Or should it be raised to 8?
Right, right.
Because, as I say, you only have one carrier at a time, and you either have 8 fighters, 16 fighters, or 24 fighters.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I would up it from 6 to 8 because of 8 was considered a standard flight for the Omega Octant versus
well, actually, in Omega it's going to be even more confusing because on the one hand, it's because the standard is to go down to only one fighter per empire. That means that for most empires, there'll be no seeking weapon fighters at all, because in Omega, seeking weapon fighters are usually only a handful in a given squadron.
Right.
So almost every fighter is going to be a direct firefighter. And the Federal Republic would probably get their short-range cannon fighter. But then the question would be, should the short-range cannon itself be restricted to FA, like other heavy weapons of a fighter?
Mm-hmm.
Or should they be allowed the 4th SCR arc that they have in SFB? But everyone else, and also the other thing too, is the FRA and Prober use the standard 12 fighter squadrons.
Right.
But like Nitrons use 14 and Trober use 11, and then other empires use XYZ or whatever. So, and of course the Hivers, well, the Hivers be more like the Hydrants, so they basically just use the Hydrant type deployment rules anyway.
Right.
But for other empires, you basically have to finesse the number of fighters that are allowed in a swarm. Based on the squadron organization for that empire.
Yeah, agreed.
It'd be weird when there's an odd number of fighters.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, the one thing I was thinking about was the Shrieks. Which...
Well, the thing with the Juggernauts is that the Shrieks are so... They're more missiles than fighters, but they're so rare that you can just launch them one at a time and you should be okay.
True. Oh, and remind me, because I'm sure you remember, and I don't, and I apologize, and I should. Which is what's the Omega Octant Empire, which basically are vampires.
Oh, the Soldra, yeah. So maybe they'd only get the vampire shards, but then the thing is that I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out how do you represent the Soldra of vampirism. In a game with no couriers.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah, because actually, for the playtest, did we have the Soldra in the playtest, Omega, or not?
No, they're way down, further down the line, because I wanted to start with some of the more kind of quote-unquote traditional technology
players, right.
Like Nisrons and Trollburn and stuff, because they're less of a headache to try to figure out. But, But a Soldra, I mean, I just, it's kind of hard to think of how would that very specific dynamic they have translate over to a game system that's missing the key components to make that dynamic work.
Right. Yeah. I do not know. Obviously, that would be quite a challenge, just like it is if you try to convert that same technology or whatever, you know, the same kind of weapon to Starmada. But there is no representation of Cruz either, you know. But moving over to Starmada, it would be a that's a lot of work. Is the way I fear, and I don't think that will happen anytime soon. To be honest, heck, first we have to get through get the Omega ones. I'm sorry, the FedCom version of those Empires released first before we want to discuss porting it over to the Starmada engine.
Well, funny things happen because, like, if you look at some of the Call to Arms Starfleet books, there's actually more Juggernaut Empire ships in a Call to Arms Starfleet now than there are in Fed Commander. Because I want to say it's the reinforcements pack that came out.
Mm-hmm.
It basically covers, covers all of the Juggernaut Empire ships that are currently on shipbase. But in Fed Commander, only the original Juggernaut and the Juggernaut Destroyer have ship cards. Most of the other ones don't have ship cards yet, so... In certain, and actually, you know what's even more funny is that there are probably more X-ships in Call to Arms Starfleet than there are in Flight Commander, because the reinforcements pack also gave you a bunch of new X-ships for various empires there, some of which don't exist in Flight Commander at all. Like, for example, the Federation CX.
Mm-hmm.
You can play that right now, but you still will have to wait for X-ships to attack to play it in Flight Commander. So, you know, it's each of the games, I guess, depending on the pace that they move, and depending on the structure of them, they can end up, you know, going in directions that you wouldn't necessarily expect given the age of the game system.
Right. Understood. Okay, well, I think we'll wrap it up there. Doug, is there anything you want to hawk at this moment in time?
Yes. Oh my goodness, yes, please. Help. Gamers of Winter is coming up shortly. It's only 6 or 7 or 8 months away. And we did actually get a few more donations in. So, I mean, that's looking up a bit.
That's good to hear.
And that was some of our regular people that came out. And for those of you who might be, like, new to this, the whole Gamers of Winter thing, who haven't heard it before, it's an event that I've run for the past, like, decade and almost a half. And basically, Paul comes out to it to run FedCom events and Starmada demos and playtest stuff there. And we would love to have more SFE players come out. We've had a few over the years, but despite our relatively convenient location in Harrisburg, PA, we don't get that many people for SFB. That, you know, I would expect more with Paul coming out and Barry coming out. But, yeah. Last week we talked about maybe trying to do some kind of an event there if anybody wants to run a, like, crossover event where, you know, using F&E to maybe generate a FedCom scenario or an SFP scenario, but most likely a FedCom scenario. That's kind of basically it. I mean, we're looking at having to get a new venue because our venue of the last several years has decided they just literally aren't going to be renting to outside parties anymore.
Right.
They're repurposing their space. So... but depending on the amount of money that we can fundraise ahead of time, we'll drive what kind of space we have and whether it's going to be a one-shot event over a single weekend in January, or if we can afford like a storefront kind of space for a month or two, you know, maybe we'll hold multiple events over a few weeks instead of just one weekend of gaming, so to speak. So, there's that. And if any of you guys out listening to this want to run something, like you want to come in and run, you know, the captain's game from SFB, or if there's a, I forget if there was a FedCom version of that, you know, run that over the course of a weekend or a tournament, you know, I'd be all for it. And I'm sure you'd probably get some people out if this gets out on, you know, various BBSs for SFB. I just haven't been, like, on the BBSs for SFB in a long time. There's that.
I understand.
You got any thoughts on that, Paul?
I would love to run. The important thing to me would be making sure that we got the people signed up beforehand, at least.
Oh yeah.
Then you have it so that I know there would be people there to play it. You know, you know, because if I get like 3 or 4 people to say I'll be there, you know, we can definitely do something large. I can guarantee. At that point, I can say, okay, we're going to have something larger. Because you know, if they say 4 people say, I'll be there, that means there'll be 3 people there. I'm one, well, at least 25% will bow out due to something coming up. And I'm fine with it. I understand the issue. But, because I've dealt with it for a long time. But, but you know, hey, but at that point, I said if I can guarantee that 75% show up rate for those who said they'll be there, that's all I need. I need people, 4 people to say they'll be there, so I can get 3, in case we can definitely run a larger event just with 3 people. Just 3 people that say they'll be there and they'll actually be actively taking part. And that would be the thing we do, you know, our campaign, which we run over the weekend. So that'd be I would definitely.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, the other part of that is scheduling it ahead of time. I mean, if you want to commit to refereeing something like that, then by all means, we can put that on the schedule.
Right, right.
And then just say, you know, because I do have a thing where people can sign up and say, I want to be in this or that event in particular. And when people actually sign up and they put their money out there, then they're coming out. You know, when they reserve their badges, that's when, you know, somebody's coming out. It's kind of actually very rare that we've had people pre-register for a badge and then not show up.
Right, right.
Very rare.
Understood.
So that's usually like, hey, Doug, why weren't you there? Well, I was getting gallbladder surgery. That sort of thing.
Yeah, well, these things happen.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. I mean, the whole thing with the fundraiser is I am counting that towards registration. So, but a lot of the people who have done the already putting money into the fundraisers are putting in a little bit more than what they would normally put in for a pre-registration, just because they like.
Understood.
So there's that. I mean, other than that, I don't have a lot more on it.
Okay. Cool.
The echoing seems to have stopped. I mean, I don't know how that happened. I'm just wondering if it might be a little glitch of the delay. I don't know.
That's possible. It might be something. Yes.
But when Barry was on a few weeks ago and we mentioned that, he switched his Bluetooth stuff around and that kind of killed the thing too. But it seems to come and go. I don't know. Maybe it's an issue with the software.
That's possible. I'd have to really, you know, I'd have to spend time to diagnose it because I have yet to hear any echoing at all myself, but that's me.
You know. Well, when it was mentioned earlier in this program, it actually went away after a while. Because I was echoing when I spoke, but it wasn't as prevalent as it was with the other speaker for a chunk of time, but then it went away for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It could be them, our interwebs being wonky.
That is possible. Anything. That is possible.
But yeah, that's my tech support of the week. You're welcome.
Okay. Well,
but, you know, yes. I will alibi one thing on the fighters thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the it seems to me from listening to you talk about it and taking a quick glance at what they put up on the on that posting about it with the rule listing there, it looks a lot like what they're just trying to do is take something that in Starfleet Battles was very complex, time consuming, and trying to cut that down into a very much more simplified system. And while, yes, you still have to track the individual fighters and their hit points and the individual drones and their hit points, if you're using the swarm thing, you're kind of stacking it all in one spot. And it does sound like in practice it'll make it a lot quicker and easier to use if you're doing it that way. Hello, cat.
Yeah.
Aww.
He's a pain. Yes, you are.
So, there's that.
You're nothing but trouble.
So that was kind of basically my little alibi on that one. And it sounds like they're kind of getting there a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I got nothing extra on it, unless you have any questions for me.
Nope.
About the event next winter.
No. No, I don't.
And if anybody out there wants to come in and assist Paul with, say, committing to run an event like refereeing, say, a captain's game type of thing, or, you know, say, a short 2 or 3 turn tutorial F&E kind of thing or something, then feel free to contact us through the Facebook page. I mean, Gamers of South Central PA Convention, which I believe Paul has a link to here. So There's that. I mean, we'll sign you up.
So. Yeah, yes, we will.
Other than that,
okay, cool. Well, Doug, you have a good night.
Thank you, Paul.
Gary, you have a good night, too.
Have a night, Paul.
So, we got through another FedCom module, you know, some the pre. Obviously, if you have any questions or any thoughts about it that you want to talk to me about, feel free to post it up on Twitter, or if you want to, you know, send me an email at sfuoncall@gmail.com, you know, that too, that I'd be happy to respond there and possibly even talk about your comments, you know, next week. Or whenever you email me. It could be next week. Could be the week after that. You know, whatever. Because Lord knows, time shifting. Gotta love it. It's definitely a brave new world. I was going to say a brave new world, but it's been like this for longer than... It's been not like this for a while. I could have said it was a brave new world like 15 years ago. But, yeah. No, that train has gone past. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.